If you have your Bibles this morning, we're starting out over in the book of Psalms chapter 27, and we're going to read the last verse of that chapter, but we're going to look more closely at that chapter. And the thought that we're going to speak about this morning, and it dealt some with this in Sunday school, and I had this last week, even before Sunday school this week, so I knew that God wanted me to share this. And we're going to talk about waiting on the Lord and what it means to wait on the Lord. You know, we all like to say, we're waiting on you, God, we're waiting on you, but our interpretation of wait versus what the scripture's interpretation of wait means is two very different things. Because if we're waiting on someone, we go to the doctor's office and, oh, this can be annoying. They want you to be there on time, and you sit there and you wait and you wait. And you wait, and you wait, and you wait some more. And then you might see somebody come in after you came in, and they get called in before you do. And it starts to wear your patience thin, and you're just sitting there waiting and waiting. And so if we're not careful, we can look at God that way. We go to the store, you make a purchase. Now, a lot of stores, all of you people that used to complain about the waiting in checkout lines, you shouldn't be complainers anymore. Now you're probably complaining about something else, and that is because you can wait on yourself. Checkout line, no waiting. You just step right up, scan your items, and go. We were in the state of Florida in the month of June this year, and they was telling us about a store down there, and it's technology that's out there, and there's a store down there, and get this technology. You don't have to wait for this technology. You come up to the checkout, you place all of your items on the belt, and you push a button, and it tells you instantly how much your whole order is. Talk about technology. Man, there's no waiting there. I don't have to scan each item. And so when we think of wait, that's how we think of waiting. But when we're waiting on the Lord, it's something different. God, we pray that you will help us today, God, as we expound upon this. Lord, help us to be patient and are waiting upon you, oh God. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Psalms 27, in the last verse, 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so if we're not careful, we can think that waiting on the Lord is like when I'm waiting in line at Walmart. Or it's like when I go out to eat somewhere and I place my order and I have to sit there and wait. And it's just going to drop in my lap. And we think waiting on God, we're just waiting for him to do what he's got to do. And we're just being patient, trying to be patient. Sometimes we get impatient. But this scripture is talking about something a little bit different. Psalms and Proverbs. Amen. In other books of the Bible, we are told many times to wait on the Lord. I think Jeremiah 33:3 is one of those. I might be mistaken. But we are to wait on the Lord and we'll renew our strength. We'll mount up with wings as eagles. We'll run and run. Be weary, we'll walk and not faint, but we wait on the Lord. So when we think of waiting, amen, we think of waiting like a passive experience that I just explained to you. I spent quite a little bit of time on that thought. It's just a passive experience. I'm just sitting here waiting for it to happen. But waiting on the Lord is different than waiting for a person. It's a very different thing, waiting on the Lord. We're all waiting on the Lord. How many want to see the church filled? I want to see it filled. So we're waiting on the Lord. But we're not going to go down that road today. There's things involved in that. We're sitting here waiting for the Lord to fill the church, and God's sitting in heaven waiting for us to get out there and do what we're supposed to do so the church will get filled. Amen. So it works both ways. But waiting on the Lord is different than waiting on a person. This waiting on the Lord, here's what it means. And then we're going to break this down. It's a patient, confident trust in the Lord. That's waiting on the Lord. A patient, confident trusting in the Lord. If you have a child that has not given their heart to God yet, and you're praying for that child, you're praying for their salvation. It could be your spouse. It could be a close family member. It could be a friend. And so you're waiting on the Lord. You're waiting for them to come and experience this salvation, but you're doing it with a patient, confident trust in the Lord that it is going to happen, that my household is going to be saved. We're waiting on the Lord. We have a sickness in our body, and we want healing, and we pray, oh, God, heal us. And we take time of prayer requests in the church, and that's a good thing. And we want it to happen instantaneously. Well, when it does happen, it's going to be instantaneous, but until it happens, we're waiting on the Lord for him to do that, but we are patient and we have a confident trust in the Lord. We know that God's going to do it. If we're praying for a healing, we know that God's going to do it. If you have some kind of a need in your house, house. It could be a bill that needs paid. You're facing a situation you don't know what to do, and you're praying and you're asking God for help, and you might ask God for a help in a certain way, and you're waiting for it to happen, and you're like, you know, you don't get nervous. You're not wringing your hands. You're not thinking, well, maybe I prayed the wrong prayer. When you're waiting on the Lord, you do that with a patient, confident trust in the Lord. You know that God's going to come through for you. There's no doubt in your mind that that prayer is going to be answered. There's no doubt in your mind that that healing's coming. There's no doubt in your mind that that financial blessing is coming that you need. There's no doubt in your mind that you're going to get that answer from God that you're looking for. That's what it is to wait on the Lord. And so this whole book of Psalms 27, it's only 14 verses long. It's a prayer to the Lord for help. It's a prayer to the Lord for help. In that time of need, we need to call upon the name of the Lord for help. God wants us to call upon Him. How does it make you feel as a parent, as you were raising your children, and your child needs something, and they're dependent upon you, and they don't come and ask you for the help for whatever the situation is? They might have a need that you're not even aware of, because for whatever various reasons that could happen. But you appreciate it when they come to you and they ask for that help. Now, if a child's just sitting there and his shoes are all tattered and torn and worn out, and they're just sitting there, you ask that child, what are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting for my mom and dad to get me new shoes. Well, did you tell your mom and dad you need new shoes? Nope, I didn't tell them. They should be able to figure it out. Sometimes we treat God that way. We just sit there with all the needs in the world. We're very needy, but not in a negative way, because life is life. Needs arise, and we need things, but we're just sitting there waiting for God to move and work. God can do it that way, and sometimes He does at times. A parent may help that child without that child asking, but God, when we're waiting for Him, we're asking in confidence, and we're very patient that God is going to come through for us. Amen. And so in this Psalms 27 that we're looking at this morning, David here, he shows a true faith and trust in God. He showed a true faith and trust in God. And why could he do that? Because he knew God would save and rescue him in his time of trouble. First of all, you have to have that established in your mind. In my time of trouble, when that day of need comes, amen, I have a true faith and trust in God that He is going to come through for me. Hopefully, we never have to face persecution like many Christians in this world do. Hopefully, hunger never comes to our household. Hopefully, famine never comes to our household. Hopefully, the money never stops flowing in our household. But when and if that does happen to us, we need to have a true faith and trust in God, because we know that God is going to save us and God is going to rescue us. Amen. That's how you can wait upon the Lord. It's not in vain to wait on the Lord. You don't sit waiting on the Lord with your fingers crossed. Well, I hope that God comes through with me. Surely He sees my need. I've made it known unto Him. But we do it with the confidence. We have a true faith and trust in God that everything's going to be okay. Amen. And we think of that verse, all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. God, I'm trusting You. How many times have we said that? God, I'm trusting You. And really what we're doing is we're waiting on the Lord to come through for us. And so we're going to look at some different ways that we can wait on the Lord. How do we wait on the Lord? And we're looking at this Psalms, and in the first three verses of this Psalm 27, you can look there, and David said this in the first three verses, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. And in these verses here, David was waiting upon the Lord, and this is ways that we wait upon the Lord. We don't look at waiting this way. We're waiting in line. Remember, I'm waiting my turn. But when we're waiting on the Lord, that means we are trusting in Him. Are you trusting in God today? God is going to make a way in your life. You're waiting upon the Lord. We have our one young lady with us here this morning. It's her senior year in high school. She's waiting upon the Lord for the direction of the Lord that God's going to show her. She has a confidence that God's going to show her the path to walk in. And so David was trusting in God. Amen. We need to trust our God with our future. Amen. We need to trust God for today, that He's going to take care of us today. He's going to take care of us tomorrow. We have to have that trust in Him. We have that confidence in Him. We know this because the Scripture teaches it. He will never leave me or forsake me. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I can trust in Him more than I can trust in a blood brother. I can trust in Jesus more than I can trust in you. And you should be able to trust in Jesus more than you can trust in your pastor. Amen. David was trusting in Him. David knew that the Lord was his salvation and his strength. You need to know of a surety in your heart this morning that the Lord is your salvation and your strength. From where does my strength come? My strength cometh from the Lord. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Amen. This is waiting on the Lord. And if you have that confidence in God, if you really know that God is your salvation, that God is your strength, that is going to drive away fear. Amen. You'll be in a situation where you should be very fearful. It's very uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen, but you can have a certainty and you can have a peace in your heart. Amen. You can be there without fear because you know that the Lord is your salvation and strength. You know that the Lord is going to come through you, come through for you. And we look at the Hebrew children. We look at Daniel in the lion's den. Both of those stories in the book of Daniel. Daniel knew that the Lord was his salvation and strength. He knew that God was going to come through for him. Amen. The three Hebrew children knew that God was going to come through for them. They were trusting in the Lord before they even faced that circumstance. And as they were facing the circumstance, and as you face things in life, to wait on the Lord is knowing Him and trusting in Him. Do you have that established in your heart today? Do you really know that the Lord is your salvation, that He is your strength? Amen. That anything that happens in your life, it's happening because God's permitting it to happen. His eye is, He doesn't turn a blind eye. It. He knows exactly what's going on in your life today. He knows the very thought, the intent of your heart. He's not turning a blind eye to it. He's not turning a deaf ear to it, because David was facing hard times, and he knew that the Lord was his salvation and strength. And so that's point number one in trusting in God. Amen. You got to get that down in your heart and in your soul. In verses four, let's read verse four here. 4, 5, and 6, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Amen. And David said here, amen, the second thing that we're looking at is waiting upon the Lord. If you're waiting upon God, that means you're seeking Him. Amen. You're seeking Him. You're looking. God, I don't see you in this situation. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. We're seeking the Lord. We're seeking the will of the Lord. God, what is it that you want in this situation? God, why is it that you're allowing this to happen in me? Amen. And so David, he was seeking the Lord. He was seeking the Lord. And that's in verse 4. That was one thing that David desired. Of all the things that he could desire in the world, he said, this one thing I desire of the Lord. If we could say it today, if you could say it today, what's the one thing that you desire of the Lord today? And David said, that will I seek after. Amen. So what was he doing? He was seeking after the Lord. Amen. The one thing that we can seek after today, waiting upon the Lord, is to know Him in a more true way. Amen. Not that you don't know Him good today and well today, but you get to know Him better. You're seeking Him. You want God in your life. God, I want your ways to be my ways. I want to be a living example. I want to be a lighthouse for you. David longed to be with the Lord. David longed to commune with the Lord. Do you long to be with the Lord? Is there a longing down in your heart and in your soul that you want to be forever in the presence of the Lord? When you're younger, it might be harder to think about it. But when you get a little bit older, you start thinking about that a little more. Life goes by ever so quickly. I know I've shared this often. I had the privilege or the honor, I'll call it, of speaking to a gentleman who was 105 years of age. And we think, wow, not many people today live to be 105 years old. And I asked him what he thought about life and how quickly it was. He said, I can't believe it's been 105 years. Said it went by just like that. When you're younger, time seems to crawl, but as you get older, it goes quicker. Amen. We need to long to be in the presence of the Lord. We need to have a longing within our hearts to commune with Him. We're talking about waiting on the Lord this morning. That's how you wait on the Lord. You long to be with the Lord. You long to commune with Him. You want to have that fellowship with Him. You want to have that prayer time with Him. You want to come to God's house. You want to go to church meetings. You want to be in the presence of the Lord. You want to listen to good gospel music because that's the way that we are communing with the Lord. How do you communicate with God? I was communicating with Him the other day. I already shared this with you. As I was walking my dogs around the park. Amen. I was singing. I was singing it out loud too. Not as loud as I sing in church. Amen. But I was singing, to me He's become everything. He's everything that I need. The beginning, the ending. He's life's dearest friend. To me He's become everything. Thing. The dogs are looking at me like, wow, what's wrong with you? That's communing with the Lord. It's not always coming to church. We're having prayer time here tomorrow night from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. I hope to see you all here. We don't get up with a microphone and say anything. You just come in and spend time in the presence of the Lord. But there's just something, there should be something within us as a child of God that we want to have that communion with the Lord. There might be a particular song that you can put on that just puts you right in communication with the Lord. Seeking Him. That is waiting on the Lord. Amen. And here David, in these verses that I read, he felt safe and secure with the Lord. Amen. He wanted to commune with the Lord. And these scriptures talked about worshiping Him in His temple. There should be something in our hearts and our souls that we want to be in church. We want to go to fellowship meetings. Just a way to explain it, there's just a desire. There's a longing within us to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. To go to a fellowship meeting, to go to church on Sunday morning, to go to church whenever we're able to go to church. Oh, it should never be if we're seeking the Lord, if we're waiting on Him. It should never be, oh no, tomorrow's church day. That sort of shoots that idea. I'm going to have to put that on hold because I have to go to church. No, nobody has to go to church. Amen. I hope you're not serving God that way. When it comes church time, you're here because you're seeking Him. You're waiting on Him. You want to be here. There's an excitement. There's an anticipation down in your heart and in your soul. And as Sister Linda was sharing with us, amen, that fellowship meeting on Friday night, I haven't been in a service like that in a long time. That was a true Pentecostal service. Amen. The power and the presence of the Lord was there. Amen. There was a good Holy Ghost outpouring. Amen. There was a young man, a young child, I'll say. I don't think he was even 10 years old. It got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power of the Lord was present in that place. It was powerful. Yet, even in that atmosphere, there were some people that were just standing there, just being observers, just watching. Man, I can't be in an atmosphere like that and just be somebody that's observing and watching. I have to get involved in it. Amen. Seeking Him. Amen. Longing to be the Lord with the Lord. Longing to commune with Him. And when you get into that situation where you're really seeking Him, you will feel safe and secure in God. If you're not feeling safe and secure in God, maybe you're not seeking Him like you should be seeking Him. Sometimes we think just because we know about God, we know all these scriptures and what they say, we somehow think that that seals it for us. It's not good enough to know about those things. We have to put them into practice in our life. We have to really believe them. Amen. The saint, he even knows a scripture. There's a scripture in the New Testament that talks about that. He knows a scripture, and he fears and trembles at the scripture. And I'm getting off track a little bit. We know the scripture. We don't even fear and tremble at the scripture. That's just the word of God. You know, take it for what it's worth. There's so many ways that could be interpreted. Who's to say who's right and who's wrong? Well, the devil understands the word of God, and it causes a fear and a trembling to come over him. Amen. And so we need to be in the presence of the Lord. We need to want to seek Him, because when we're in those places, we're going to feel safe and secure in God. Amen. We need to feel safe and secure in God. The first thing was in trusting Him. Amen. That's waiting on the Lord. And in seeking Him, that's waiting on the Lord. Let's start down in verse 7 now. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, that thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so here, David was asking, amen, for wisdom and direction. Here he is waiting upon God. And how is he waiting upon God? When he was waiting upon God, he was praying. When's the last time you prayed? Well, I come to church and we pray and we praise and worship. When's the last time you prayed? You communicated with God in that little song. I know it's a little song, and I like to use songs as illustrations a lot of times, but that little song, well, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He don't want to hear my troubles. My friends don't even want to hear my troubles. Jesus wants to hear about your troubles. Amen. Tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry. He will answer by and by. That's waiting upon the Lord, praying. And if we don't receive it today, we pray again tomorrow. We may pray more than one time in one day for any given situation, depending on how pressing that it is. But we are praying. We are waiting upon God. And he was asking for wisdom, and he was asking for direction. In verse number 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. He was asking for wisdom here. God, lead me in a plain path. Show me. And he said in verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, when my father and mother, when my family forsake me, they don't like the direction that I'm going in. David was saying, then the Lord is going to take me up. He's going to be my cover. He's going to be my tower. Amen. He's the apple of my eye. Amen. He's there to upgird us. He's there to hold us. That's waiting upon God. That's seeking the Lord, trusting in him. And we do that for prayer. Amen. And he was asking for protection in verse 12. He says, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Amen. He was letting God know how it was. When's the last time you prayed for protection? Well, I haven't felt the need to pray for protection. There might be something that comes over you at some point that you will feel the need to pray for protection. God, I need your help in this situation. I don't know what's going to become of this. And that's what David was doing. But through trusting in him, David was waiting upon the Lord. Through seeking the Lord, David was waiting upon the Lord. Through his prayers, David was waiting upon the Lord. And so that last verse that we read, wait on the Lord. Verse 14, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so we're going to trust him. We're going to seek him. We are going to pray. We're going to have that peace down in our hearts and souls. We're going to have that true faith. Trust in God, because we know that God is going to be there to help us and rescue us. Amen. He's our high tower. Amen. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He's a firm foundation. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I'm waiting upon the Lord, waiting on the Lord. We have a confident expectation that a positive result is coming where it is needed. That's waiting upon the Lord. That's waiting upon the Lord. What is that? You have a confident expectation that positive results are coming. It's going to turn around. The situation's going to get better. Yeah, but Pastor, when I started praying, the situation seemed to get a little bit worse. But we have that confident trust in the Lord that it's going to get better. Have you ever heard the old saying, it gets worse before it gets better? You start praying for somebody, they might be all of a sudden somebody that'll turn against you. But God is working. We have that confidence and that trust in God. Amen. Do you know somebody that doesn't wait on the Lord? The lost. They don't wait on God. They don't wait on God. They don't trust on God. Amen. And so if you fail to trust in the Lord, you aren't waiting on the Lord. Lord either. If you don't trust in the Lord, you're as good as the sinner out there on the street, because they don't trust in the Lord. And so how is it that we trust in the Lord? We need to be trusting in Him. We need to be seeking Him. We need to be doing it for prayer, through prayer, because if we don't do that, we're no better than the lost. Amen. And to wait on the Lord, you must know who He is and all that He's able to do. Let that sink in. If you're going to trust in God, you must know who He is and what He is able to do. We have the scripture as a testimony to us. We know who He is. What He has done in the past, He can do today. He's a God that changes not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He led them against the Red Sea, across that Red Sea. Well, what's that have to do with me today? They were in an impossible situation. Death was imminent. It was going to be there. They were going to die. And God made a way for them. And you can go through the and look at all the ways that God came through for His people. Amen. And so you must really know who He is. Do you really know who Jesus is today? The way that you know Him today. The way that I know Him today. Well, I can tell you, I can know Him in a more real way. You can know Him in a more real way than what you know Him right now. In the expression that we use, many times we put Jesus in a box. He can only do this, and this is how He's going to do it. You can't put Jesus in a box. Amen. Because He'll work in ways that you don't even understand. And those who wait, amen, we don't lose hope. We don't lose hope in our prayers. Well, I guess it's a hopeless situation. God's never going to come through for us. Amen. We're helping a family in this church right now. We're Facebook Live, so we don't say names. We probably wouldn't anyways. But we're helping a family in this church right now. And that the family that they're from are facing a situation with a loved one. And they're trying to figure out how it's all going to work out. What are we going to do? Well, they're praying, then they're praying. They're waiting on the Lord. God's going to come through. God's going to answer that prayer. God's going to show him the way to go. But they must know, as we do, we must know who He is and what He's able to do. Amen. And you don't lose hope in your prayers. Well, we prayed and prayed and prayed. I guess it's time for us to take some action, because God must be on a journey. He must be sleeping. There must be something wrong in my life. God must not like me anymore. God's turning a deaf ear to me. You know the times when you pray and it feels like your prayers are reaching the ceiling and bouncing back to the floor? There's a good chance that those are the times that your prayers are really getting through to God, and the enemy's just trying to discourage you, given the feeling that God's not paying attention to you, God's not hearing to you. Let that sink in a little bit. Amen. The times that you feel like your prayers aren't working is very possibly the time that they're really working, because there's a deceiver out there that's after us. Amen. We need faith. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, that's over near the end of the New Testament, 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. It's not His will that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And in Psalms it says, ask me the heathen for thine inheritance, and I will give it to you. So we know that we can pray for a salvation of a soul. We know that that prayer be answered in direction in life, when we're seeking exact direction on what we should do. We know that God hears those prayers. Amen. This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Amen. He heareth us. Amen. And that's to those that follow Him. Isaiah 40:31, I alluded to this. I said, Jeremiah, shame on me. Amen. It's Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 31, this is a verse that a lot of people like to use. Amen. 40:31 says this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall, by waiting upon the Lord. How are we waiting upon the Lord? Remember what I talked to you about this morning. By trusting in Him, by trusting in God, by seeking Him, and through your prayers, that's what you're doing. When you do those things, it says, they that wait upon the Lord, what's it going to do? It's going to renew your strength. You're going to feel renewed. And I think your physical man will feel renewed too. It's just like, wow, you get under the anointing of God, you can be feeling pretty blue and pretty low. Amen. And feel like you don't have any strength. But you get under the anointing of God, that power and strength that comes in you. Amen. God can anoint you for a task. Well, does it always have to be something spiritual? No, it doesn't have to be. Where does it say that in the Bible? If you have some chore that you need to get done around your home, and especially it affects us older ones like me and Brother Brian back there, God can anoint us for the task that we have at hand, that God can give us strength to be able to do what we need to do. And when we get that task completed, that tiredness and weariness just enters our bodies and bones again, and we're just like, show me where the bed is. But God can anoint us. If you wait upon the Lord, He's going to renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run. They're not going to be weary. They're going to walk, and they're not going to faint. That is what is going to happen. God wants to do that for all of us. Amen. Waiting upon the Lord. Amen. It's going to renew your strength. Seeking Him. Praying Him. Praying to Him. Having that faith and confidence in Him. In the times that you feel the Lord doesn't see or hear your prayers aren't being answered. Amen. You have a complete faith and trust in God. And that's Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. God, I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it. And I don't like it. If anything, since I started praying, it seems to be getting a little bit worse. The pressure seems to be a little bit more upon me. But I know this, in those times, that all things work together for the good. Sometimes you need to remind yourself of that. In the midst of a storm, whenever adversity is coming against you, you need to quote Romans 8:28. If not the whole verse, at least that first part. All things work together for the good. God, I'm one that loves You. All things in my life are working together for the good. I don't see it. I don't feel it now. But I'm standing on the promises of Your word. I have that sure confidence and faith in You, that this is working together for the good. God, I don't appreciate the situation I'm in right now. I want it to change, but I know it's working for my good. We have that confidence. Amen. David's, in this verse 4, David's greatest longing, and back to Psalms 27, and I talked about it a little bit in closing here this morning. David's greatest longing was a close fellowship with the Lord. That should be your greatest longing. Well, my greatest longing is that my body be healed. My greatest longing is that my children be saved. My greatest longing is that I have this and I have that and all the things we can pray about. My greatest longing is that there be peace in the world. My greatest longing, whatever it is, your greatest longing and my greatest longing should be a close fellowship with the Lord. First and foremost, those other things that I talked about, they're very, very important. We're not to block them out and say, nope, I just need to fellowship with the Lord. You need the other things, but you need that fellowship with the Lord. That was David's greatest longing. Amen. And because he had that longing in his heart, the greatest longing he had was to be with that, have that fellowship with the Lord. It caused David to continually seek God's presence in His favor, because I want God in my, God, I want You more than I want anything. I want You. As a deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after You. I want You more than I need the bread that I need to eat today. I want You more than I want that relationship with my family. Although those are very important, God wants us to have those. But David desired a close fellowship with the Lord, and it caused him to continually seek God's presence in his behavior. Are you continually seeking God's presence? You want His presence in your life? You want God's favor in your life? David said, this one thing I've asked of the Lord, in Psalms 27:4, this one thing I've asked of the Lord, it was the thing he wanted the most. The most important thing to him was to seek the Lord. He wanted to know God in a special way. That should be all of our heart's desire. God, I want to know You in a special way. Doesn't Matthew 6:33 back this up? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All of these things, all of these needs, physical, financial, children not saved, whatever, loved, all of these things are going to be added on to you. And so he wanted to know God in a special way. David had a lifelong relationship with God. Some people, their relationship with God is a Sunday morning relationship. God, I'm giving you a two-hour window here. If you're going to talk to me this week, you better do it now. Because after I leave this church, I'm out there living and I ain't got time for you. We don't quite say it that way. Many times our mentality is that way. The only time God can speak to us is in church. He wanted to know God in a special way. He wanted a lifelong relationship with God. He wanted an everyday relationship with God. That's waiting on God, seeking Him, an everyday relationship with God. And then he ended up by saying, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. You got to be of good courage, even in adversity. It's not looking good. It's getting worse, Pastor. You don't understand. Be of good courage. You're waiting on God. You're seeking Him. Amen. You're praying. You're spending time in His presence. Be of good courage. Then the promise is, if we wait on the Lord and we're of good courage, strength will come. Strength will come. God will sustain you. Things will work out. And then once again at the end, He says this, wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. If Sister Judy wants to come up on to the organ, we're going to sing a song here in a moment. Let's sing that song, They That Wait Upon the Lord. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. And right there in your place, if you want to come stand in the front, you can do that also. I'll never frown at that. Don't ever feel out of place. We're a Pentecostal church. Amen. But you got to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. We can get weary waiting. I get weary at the doctor's office if I'm waiting, waiting, and waiting. And we're waiting on the Lord. But a lot of times the reason we struggle with that is because we're treating God like we do the doctor. I'm just waiting on God. As David was waiting, amen, he was doing these things. He was trusting in Him as he was waiting. He was seeking Him as he was waiting. He was praying while he was waiting. He was desiring a relationship with God as he was waiting. And God came through for him. And so today, learn to wait upon the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help us to learn to wait upon You. God, not to be impatient, but to have that close relationship with You, where we just lay back in Your arms. We just know that You got this. We just know that it's going to work out. No, we don't like all the things that we face, and maybe our present circumstance isn't so good, but God, we have a fixed confidence that You're going to come through for us, God. Lord, You're going to renew our strength this day. Help us, oh God, in Jesus' name. And as we sing this, amen, you could talk to God about what you heard here this morning, amen, and